And I'm going to invite Bobby to come on.
Sure.
When I die, hallelujah, by and by,
okay.
Fly away.
I told him last week this is my favorite song. This was a song my grandpa loved, and we sang it like all the time, and we sing it every year at my home place, so I'll fly away. That's good. Now I'm distracted. Hey. First of all, I just want to say my name is Bobby, and it's a kind of a pleasure to kind of share with you this morning. Chris said earlier he didn't know what my sermon topic was. That's because Friday evening I'm texting him, I'm like, what's my sermon topic? I think that might have caught him a little off guard. I just couldn't remember what we were going to call it. So I was joking with him. I'm a big fan of the old cartoon Scooby-Doo. I don't know if some of you do. And they have some, there's a group of guys and girls that solve mysteries. There's kind of a nerdy smart girl named Velma, and she's always trying to say, like, let's have some fun with it. And she says, let's get jiggy with it. And I said, what if I call my sermon, let's get jiggy with it at church? And he didn't like that. So we won't do that. But anyhow, I just want to tell you guys, I'm not a preacher. I've never preached. I'm not a theologian. But they asked me to kind of just share my thoughts on a topic that just means a lot to me and has meant a lot to me my entire life. So I'm just going to kind of share a little bit from my heart this morning. Lisa knows me really well, and she knows when I get up on this stage, I stomp a lot. So she's really worried I'm going to fall through. So if you see me stomping and walking around, you know, just go along with me, and let's have some fun together this morning. But what I actually called the topic, whoo, if I can find it, everyone has a ministry. So I'm going to really just talk and share a little bit this morning about everyone here has a ministry. Everyone here has a way to serve, okay? And that's something that I learned early in life. And I think it's very important that we grasp that message, that no matter who we are in Christ, we can serve, we can minister, we can do our part, and it's all to bring glory to God. Now, at work, many of you guys don't know a lot about me, but I work for a company called Progressive Insurance, and you may have seen the Flow commercials, and I manage an analyst group. So I cover about a third of the country, and I do a lot of analyst work. And at work, all the managers recently, managers and senior managers, we've been told to come put together our story, okay? Who we are. Because at Progressive, we're really encouraged to bring our whole selves to work. I shouldn't go to work and not talk about my Christianity or talk about my life. I should be able to come to work and just be freely talk about it. And so we've been encouraged to put together our story so that when we go to meetings with our people or elsewhere, we can take, you know, 2 or 3 minutes and just share a story. So I'm going to just take a minute and talk about my story, just where I came from, and how it really feeds into today's sermon about everyone having a ministry. Now, this guy up on the screen, he's a Navy guy. That's my daddy. And my daddy was born in Pennsylvania back in 1930. He grew up right in the outskirts of Pittsburgh. Jim knows Pittsburgh very well. And, you know, he grew up, he was a classical violinist when he was younger. He moved to the Navy. He later became what he called a fiddlist, because he liked to call it a fiddle then, later on in life. But then he worked about a decade in the steel mills with my grandpa outside of Pittsburgh. Now, I don't know a lot about my dad's beliefs growing up. I know he went to an Episcopalian church, and he always said we went to high church, but I don't know much else about his childhood. But I do know, I got this lady coming along. That's my mama. Now, my mama grew up in the West Virginia mountains. My mama can plow a field with a horse. My mama knows how to butcher a hog. My mama grew up a place with no electricity. They had an outhouse, no running water until she got into high school. They didn't have a Jeep or any kind of vehicle until she was late in her teens. But what I do know about my mama and her daddy and my great-grandpa is they were firm believers in Christ. Okay. They believed in Christ and they made it a priority in their home. Okay. Now, they lived way back in the mountains. They had Sundays, no preachers. There's no preachers around. Back in the mountains, they had Sunday school in the old schoolhouse until everyone kind of moved away off the mountain, just my mama's family, and they had Sunday school in their house growing up. But my daddy eventually started working for General Electric in Waynesboro, Virginia. My mama followed my uncle to Waynesboro, and my daddy gave my mama at work a lifesaver one day, and they came together. It was a sweet thing. And they fell in love very quickly, and my daddy asked my mama to marry him. And she said, as long as you don't drink another drop of alcohol the rest of your life, I will commit to you. Because he had seen my grandpa was a mean drunk. He said yes, and he never drank again the rest of his life. They came together, and you know what happened right after that? You got these three little boys. So me and my two brothers were born, and we grew up in a family just of love. When we were real young, and I don't remember much about this, we went to Riverside Baptist. It's a church that Steve Nelson's dad taught. It's Riverside, right? Did I call it wrong? Ridgeview Baptist, and his daddy was a preacher there. But so we were there for a while, but we got a little bit older. Look at his handsome. I'm the guy. You know, tell which one's me beside my daddy. We got older, and we started going to a mission church. Okay, it was a really small church. And there's two things I want to share with you about that leads into my sermon topic, and I haven't even gotten near my sermon topic. Woo, I thought you would get out early, but you may not. Sorry about that. Two things. We started going to this church, and at the age of 13, I accepted Christ. And what happened there is, I don't know if anyone, maybe one, some of you have experienced this, but my entire family was baptized together. My mama, my daddy, my two brothers. My two brothers accepted Christ right around that time. They were 11 and 15. My mama had grown up in the mountains. There was no water. She'd never been baptized. She said, I want to be baptized. My daddy was sprinkled when he was little. He felt that he wanted to be an example to his boys, and he believed in baptism. And so five of us were dunked together. So it was a glorious time. But the second thing that I want to bring attention to is something that really affected my ministry from that point forward. When I was a teenager at this little church, my pastor asked me to be the publicity director for our church for a year. Isn't that kind of crazy? I'm a high schooler, and he says, hey, I want you to take a year, and I want you to, like, you know, put stuff in the newspaper, have things. And I did it, and I was good at it. And I thought that was just amazing that my pastor and my church as a whole recognized that I had some skills and some gifts that I could use. And that just taught me from a young age that anyone can minister. Anyone can and should minister. And it also spoke a lot about the church that they would do that for a young guy. So that happened, and that kind of really stood with me. The second thing, later on, I went off to college. I went to JMU, and two big things happened at JMU. The first one was a thing called Baptist Student Union. Okay, I joined this group of other college students. And I learned that as a college student, I could also minister. You know, I led impact teams throughout the state where we went in and did retreats for a weekend. I led family groups, which we call, community groups here. You know, we did that. I coordinated that. You know, we went out and we worked with migrant workers. We just did so much. And I learned, you know, how I could use my gifts and put them into play to serve God at a young age. So those things, that thing in high school and in college kind of set a pattern for me, and I'm going to talk a little quicker. I also met, this was the second big thing that happened to me. This lady up here, that's my wife. She had brown hair back then. I'll hear that later. But but anyhow, I met this lovely lady and fell in love, and also she had a passion and she still does, a passion for ministering to people and serving people. So that was my second big thing in college, and it came along, we got married. Yeah. Whew. Love it. And we moved to Richmond, and I'm going to talk real even quicker now. I apologize if I talk fast, but I realize I'm spending a lot of time on this. We came to Richmond, and the first thing we wanted to do is find a church. And we went to a church that met at a couple different places, but ended up at Short Pump Elementary. Some of the people in here, the Manns, were part of that group. The Byers, might be a few others. Met in a school, and what I learned there is, sometimes you set up the chairs every Sunday morning. Sometimes you haul in the sound equipment every Sunday morning. Sometimes you do nursery in the hallway. But I learned again in our marriage starting out that we needed to serve, and we were expected to serve, and we expected everyone else to serve, because when you have a small group, you have to do it together. You have to do it together. And then later on, about 21 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, we moved churches and we came here to Grace. And when you visit a new church, you're kind of trying to figure out what the church is about. But Guy Holloway came to my house, and he came with Dennis. What was Dennis's last name? Not that Dennis. Waterman. These two guys came and visited us at and Guy starts talking about Grace, and he told me two things that made me positive this was the place for us to go. One was he talked about family or small groups, community groups, whatever you want to call that, which was very important to us. The second thing that he told us was every person at Grace is expected to have a ministry. Everyone's expected to serve. And that's kind of what I'm talking about today. That just stood with me because we also got these kids that came out of it too. Got that slide was up there. This is one of my favorite pictures of my kids. They probably hate it, but that's okay. But one thing with our kids, we've taught our kids you need to serve, you need to plug in. It's your responsibility to be involved in ministry. Now I'm actually going to get to the sermon now. Isn't that something? That's small. If you can't read that, I just cut this out of Grace's membership covenant, okay? And I'm going to skip the top part, but the second part says what's expected of someone who becomes part of Grace. And it says to be committed. Oh, my voice just did something funny because I'm a little nervous. That's all right. To be committed in at least one specific dimension of this church's ministry. Maximizing the spiritual gifts which God has entrusted me. So if you start coming to Grace, that's something that we're committed to. So I have 4 points. Stanley last week had like 16 points. Okay, I only have four. And what I'm going to tell you now, these are just basic things. This is not anything new, so don't look for anything way different, but first thing is Jesus is our example. That's my one point. If you look at the scripture in Mark 10:45, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And he gave his life a ransom for many." When I start thinking about ministry and I start thinking about serving, I always, first of all, want to focus on Jesus. I want to see what Jesus did. I want to understand the patterns he set. I want to understand what kind of example he set. And I am really pacing back and forth here. I got that. But how did Jesus minister? And I looked in Acts 10:38, and you don't have to go there. I didn't put it up here. But Acts 10:38 says, "He, Jesus, went about doing good." He went about doing good. That's what Jesus did. "And healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." So it talked about, hey, you know, Jesus went and did good stuff. And we know the life of Jesus. Most of us do. And we know some of the things he did. He saw the practical needs. When people were hungry, he fed them. You know, out of love, he brought some wine to a wedding because they ran out. He taught. I mean, you can look at his disciples, how he taught his disciples. how he taught the bigger crowds, how he kind of preached the message. You can look at how he had his disciples go out and minister. So when I start thinking about ministry, I think we always have to really look to Jesus first. And we also have to realize there was no church when Jesus was here. So how we minister is a little bit different, okay? But we should still be doing the same kind of things that Jesus did, telling people about Christ, seeing to practical needs, and so forth. Point number two, Jesus created us for good works, okay? Jesus created us for good works, and there's a scripture, Ephesians 2:10, and I hadn't really focused on this verse before, but this is an amazing verse. So I'm going to break it up into two parts. The first part says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus anew for good works, okay? I'm not very good on Greek stuff, okay? I don't want to look, but I did look up what workmanship meant. And I'm not going to pronounce this right, but the word is poema, okay? And poema means something made, usually like a work of art. And I thought, man, wow, that's pretty cool. Jesus is saying, hey, I made you like a work of art. And I made you for something special. I created you for good works. Okay, and when I started talking about good works, I kind of looked it up, and the term good works is in a lot of places in the Bible. Okay, it says, hey, conduct yourself honorably so that other people may see your good works and glorify God. That's in 1 Peter. In Titus, it says, be a model of good works. Be a people who are zealous for good works. Devote yourselves for good works. Good works over and over and over again. And thinking about that, good works is a broad topic, okay? Broad topic. A good work is I can see to the needs of the poor, but a good work is also that I treat my boss in a kind way. I mean, it could be that, hey, I give money to serve Grace so they could do ministry, but it also means a good work, I want to love the people at Grace. So when I start talking about good works today, I'm kind of focusing a little bit more on some practical kind of ministry tasks. So kind of tasks to do when I talk about good works. And when I think about Jesus created us for good works, I started thinking about that creation piece. Really, he created us kind of two times if you're a believer, okay? And the first time he created you with a personality. He created you with some talents. He created you with some natural tendencies, okay? And as you get older, you develop some of those things. You develop skills like you can play the piano. You get sports skills. You're athletic. There are different types of kind of things that develop. So we have that kind of, when you start thinking about who you are and how he created you with those kind of I don't call them gifts. We'll call them talents because gifts coming in here in a second. After we become believers, we have this mysterious thing that happens that the Bible talks about, that the Spirit gives us spiritual gifts, okay? And I'm not going to spend a lot of time just talking about spiritual gifts, but I want you to think about that. When he created us to do good works, it's not just the natural talents, the experiences that we have, but he also gives us these spiritual gifts. And Ephesians 4:11 talks about really that they're used to build up the church, to encourage the church to ministry. First Corinthians 12 says, different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them, but to each is given for the common good. And several places in the Bible, it kind of talks about those gifts and how they kind of work like body parts sometimes. It makes this thing about, hey, you got an arm here, you got a leg here, you got a head, you got some feet. They all kind of work together. I think God is just an amazing God that knows how to give you the right gifts and knows what you need to do the ministry that he gives you. So What I want to say is just be very aware of your talents and skills. Be aware of your gifts. Sometimes it takes a while to understand what your spiritual gift is or your gifts. But think about them. Think about who you are and who Christ has created you and how he's created you, what he's created you to do. Okay? He has his plan. And second part of this verse says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus anew for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Now, this verse, it mystifies me, it excites me, and to a certain extent, it really terrifies me. Okay, the second part. The mysterious part of it is, wow, God has always known what he wants me to do. He knows what Rachel's going to do. He knows what he wants Tim to do. He knows what he wants Patrick to do, and so forth. He's already thought that ahead. And the exciting part is I think that's really cool. You know, he knows what he wants, how he wants me to minister. He knows where he wants me to be involved. And that's just amazing. But the part that terrifies me is that God has prepared something for me, and I may miss out on it because I'm not aware of it, I'm not paying attention. Or even worse, the second part that terrifies me is that I would say no to what he's prepared for me and wanted for me all this time. I'm going to touch on a couple of things that go along with that. The part that I may miss out, many of you guys know one of the studies that I've been my entire life, I've been, not my entire life, my adult life, that I've been a part of is something called experiencing God. And one part of experiencing God says that God is a work around me all the time. And it tells me that what I should be doing is I should be watching for where God is at work. I need to be watching him. John 5:19-20 says, the Son can do nothing by himself. So Jesus can do nothing by himself. Jesus can only do what he sees his Father himself doing. Because whatever the Father is doing, the Son Jesus also does, for the Father loves the Son, and he shows him all he does. Okay. So what I encourage you is, hey, we've seen this example of, you know, Christ serves. We know he's given us talents, and everyone's different. I need to now watch what God is doing so that I can join him and understand these good works that he's already prepared for me. So I need to be aware. That's the big part, so I don't miss out. The second part of that is I don't want to say no to him. And there are a couple parts to that. I may just not want to do it. This is the audience participation time. Have you ever just not wanted to do something God told you to do? I don't know, maybe. Luke 4:46 says, and it's Jesus talking. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? He's pretty blunt with people. He says, hey, if you're not going to do what I tell you to do, don't call me Lord, okay? And that should stick with your mind today. Okay, this should stick with your mind, and I'm shaking my hand like a preacher. sorry. But you might not want to do it. And when I say straight out disobedience, just an example could be something, I'm going to make something up. So the personnel team may come to you and say, I want you to serve on the finance team. And you kind of look and you look at your gifts and you think, yeah, I have that gift. I could do it. This team has prayed about it. They're coming to me because they think God has told it. But then I could also think, man, that sounds boring. Sorry, Kathy and others. I mean, I could say, man, that's boring. And wow, I have to commit for like a year? Yeah, nah, I'm not going to do it. That's flat out disobedience, okay? flat-out disobedience. I also think there's a disobedience that's a little bit harder to recognize sometimes, and I think I would call this kind of looking at your life position and letting your life position override what God is telling you to do. That could be, I'm really busy at work. I'm in a new job. I've got a lot of things happening to me. I'm just busy. I'm really busy. And something comes along where I know God is telling me to do something. It could be, you know, someone from the church has said something, has encouraged me. I'm feeling it in my heart. But then I look at my life and I think, I just don't think I have time. And that could, it could be your job, it could be your kids, it could be any number of things. And you think, in this time of my life, this is more important to me than obeying God. And I know it's not that easy. Don't tell it. I don't want you to think I'm saying that's easy, but I think we need to be really careful when we let life situations come before obedience to God. Because I always look at them. Well, I'm going to skip ahead. There's a verse in Hebrews 13:5-6 that says, "For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?" I think that there comes a time we need to remind ourselves when God is telling us to do something, he's going to be walking right beside you. And he's more powerful than life situations. I'm going to ad lib for a second. This is pretty bad. I just thought of another one. I think we should also be really careful. This is the third thing. Sorry if I'm boring you. I don't even know what time it is. Okay. If we say, I don't feel like I'm led to do it, okay, I think that's really a scary statement. And if you ever say that, you need to really be sure that you are right. Because God could tell me to do something that's very clear from what maybe others are telling me and situations and my skills or my gifts. And I pray about it. I'm not saying you're not praying about it. But you say, I just don't feel led to do it right now. And I'm not saying that God doesn't lead you. Don't get that wrong. I'm just saying if you say that, you need to be really careful and very confident that God's not telling you to do something, okay? So just kind of think through that. I know that was just kind of off the top of my head. But we want to make sure that we don't miss out, because if he's created something for us, we need to get in there and we need to be obedient and do it. And the last thing is, hey, since Jesus already set the example and he prepared us individually to minister, then just do it. That's my point. Number four, just do it, okay? Just do what God is telling you to do. We do have some responsibility. We have responsibility to be obedient to God. He says, you know, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Sometimes we don't think of serving as a commandment, but it is. So I want to just encourage you to trust that God is walking with you when he calls you to minister. Always be on the lookout for where he's at work and where you might plug in. And, you know, I just kind of think of like the fitness camp is coming up, and you might think, hey, we've done it the last couple years, this went pretty well. But your fitness camp is a way for our church to minister to this community. It's a way for us to talk about Jesus to kids, to parents. I should be thinking, wow, how do I get part of that? You know, for one night, or if I can't be there, what can I do to help out? What can I do to be part of that? Because that's a way that we're ministering. So think about that. Within a church, you know, I haven't talked too much about it, but we all kind of have our own skills. We have our gifts. We're all working together. And I think God just has this wisdom of putting us together to do good works here together. And I just want to say one more thing. I talked a lot about he gave us gifts. He gave us skills. He gave us spiritual gifts to do things. That does not mean that God might ask you to do something really uncomfortable that falls outside of your scope. Okay, like coming up here and saying a sermon. You know, this is way outside my scope, but I really feel like God was telling me to do it. So ministry might be uncomfortable, and you guys know that. That's nothing new. And sometimes you have to step into that uncomfortability. Is that a word? Is that a word? Discomfort. Okay, discomfort, uncomfortability, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you have to step into that and just walk in faith and trust in God. That's going to happen. So those are, oh, I forgot all the scripture that went with this. Sorry, we'll read some scripture really quick. This whole piece is of Romans 12, 2 through 8. It says, but through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So we all have to in this together, and we're all believing, we're having faith. For just as we have many members of the body, all you guys, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, individual members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ, we're all different according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. That's not a suggestion. Kind of telling us to do it. If prophecy, you prophesy. If service, serve. If teaching, teach. If it's exhorting or encouraging, do that. If you give, give I can't pronounce that word. Give a lot. If you're leading, do it with diligence and mercy, with cheerfulness. So, just a summary. You know, Jesus is our example. He's shown us what to do. Okay. Then he created us to do ministry, to do good works. He's given us skills, gifts. He's already planned out what he wants us to do. We need to be on the lookout. We need to be watching. We need to be really careful and think through if we say no. And then, you know, just do it. Just do it. So I'm going to do it a little bit different than normal. What do you guys think? Like, do y'all have any comments? Like about service? No one's expecting me to actually ask you questions. She's nodding. Well, Harmony, what's your question? What do you think? It's great. Okay. What do the rest of you guys think about having a ministry, having a place you serve? No one is talking. I'll leave you with one last thought, and that's ask yourself, how would God have me minister now? Many of you guys have been ministering faithfully, and I love that. I love the service. Still keep your eyes open. Still be watching for what God is telling you to do. Think about where he's asking you to serve, where he's asking you to help out, what kind of good works you should be doing. So that's all I have. So I appreciate you listening to me as I chatted, and like I say, we're pressing towards maturity. We're pressing towards maturity, moving forward. So thank you, guys. That's all I have.